Okay, thank you very much. This is a great team. Just give them a hand.
Really one from our heart
is for us to come to that place again to realize the gospel, the power of the gospel. Maybe it sounds really so simple that, oh, Jacobus, can't you speak of something different? But I've been so strong in my spirit tonight that this message of the gospel must be a reality. It must be a thing every day where I go, where I speak, while I do. Do you understand this? Do you understand the gospel? That which Jesus did for me. Quickly look at John chapter 1 verse 16. It says, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus we have received grace and truth. Amen? Grace upon grace. Go to the next slide. You see there, when Jesus, he was anointed to proclaim the good news to the poor. The good news to the poor. Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 7, we see, there it is. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Now that is the people that we went to in India, in those villages, then. That is exactly, that is how I can sum them up. They were dead in their trespasses. They were following the course of their world, their ancestors. They were following the prince of the power of the air. But now, verse 4, this is where the good news comes in. Amen? But God, read with me, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, Rebirth, made us alive together with Christ, by grace have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own gift, it is the gift of God. It's not your own doing, but it's the gift of God. You guys, we were in those houses there with the villagers. And the first question they asked us after we presented this gospel is, but, wow, but now, how can we? They are full of fear. So they asked us, do we still need to do stuff for this God, for Jesus, to keep him happy, to keep him pleased? And then we can say, no, it's a gift of God. Because in their religion, they have to wake up 4 o'clock. The one guy said, well, he had to wake up one morning 4 o'clock when it was snowing. He couldn't wear his underwear, stand on a mountain in the snow, and take ice and throw it on him. For hours he stood there. And that is the way he wanted to please his God. He wanted his God to see. I don't know what. Let him die and then resurrect again. But you see, that for them, it's so in their religion, everything they have to do, they have to please God, their gods. And with us, you see here, it's the grace that we have received. And for them to hear that was amazing. They couldn't believe that there's nothing I can do. It's already been done. They can just receive. And then you see the response in their hearts. They came to us, they said, this is amazing. They even asked us, can we eat meat now? We said, yes, you can. Because they can't eat meat. So the gospel comes in and it changes everything from darkness into light. This gospel has done it for us. Romans 1 verse 6 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. We can see how the gospel message, the forgiveness, the redemption, justification, changes people's lives. Imagine, just think in your head quickly. For thousands of years, these people have been born, was in bondage. Okay? They were following Hinduism for thousands of years. Imagine you were there. And here comes Jacobus into your house and say, hey, I have good news for you. That Jesus died for you, and He wants you, He says, the Bible says, He's the only way to God. No one can come to God to accept Jesus. And you're like, yes, you're crazy. Why is that? Just in that verse, if I was not full of the power of the gospel, that would just be words to them, and they would say, church boy, you're crazy, I'm following my God. But you see now, we did not go with our power, nor with our understanding or our stories, but we went and ministered in the power of the gospel. You see, and there the Holy Spirit came, and He convicted them in that moment, in their house. He convicted them, and their eyes opened, and they could see the truth. And they left everything. The one man, even when Cassie was, the goat died while they were preaching the gospel, and he didn't even hear him about this goat that just died. Because he just knew, he heard something that he never heard. And he wants to hear the end of the story. And that man went and he took the anointing in his house and declared that this house is now Jesus' house. All the other stuff has fallen away. All the other idols has fallen away. You see, the biggest thing, I remember me and Ansua, I think he were in one house, for 3.5 hours we ministered to these 30 people. We just spoke. And the devil tried everything. Then the baby cried, then the goat, then the... I don't, they were on smoke because we were in the kitchen and we couldn't even breathe. And the devil just tried everything to bring distractions. But at the end, oh, Jesus, we brought them life, their eyes opened, and their lives changed. You see, they had an encounter with the gospel. Amen? Not with Bloemfontein or your Jacobus. They had an encounter with the gospel. And that was enough. That was more than enough. We could hear and we knew that the word that God said was established. I remember just the story of Paul. Before he went Paul, became Paul, he was Saul. And he had a massive encounter with Jesus. One moment he was driving on his horse, and then he heard a voice from him. Say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? In that moment, his life changed from this radical man who persecuted the Christians to this radical man who loved Jesus and gave his life. He was a bond servant for Jesus, for the rest of your life. You know what it means to be a bond servant? In those days, they had servants, and then after years, the master will release and say, okay, thank you for your service, you can go. And then they came back and said, but I want to serve you still for the rest of your life. I want to serve you. And then that master will take him and he will nail his ear to the doorpost. For 3 days he will stand there, and then the whole village will see this man that has decided to give his life for his master for the rest of his life. After those 3 years, or 3 days, he'll hear a ring in his ear, and that man would serve his master for the rest of his days. And until death, when that master dies, he also dies, and he's buried with him in the same coffin. That was Paul's decision. From one moment, we encounter Jesus. His life changed. From darkness into light. One afternoon, we were in that third people's house, but one morning, their life changed. Why? Because of the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. We see in Acts 4 verse 20, we see here, and I ask myself, Jesus, why is this not in mind? Why? They say, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. The officials came to these apostles and said, if you're going to go on speaking about this Jesus, we will kill you, we will put you in jail. And they said, no, sorry, I can't keep silent about this message, about this gospel. And guys, it just struck me that we, our Western church, in our Western world, we've become silent with the message of goodness. We've become silent and even shy sometimes of just speaking well, saying to somebody, Jesus loves you, Jesus cares for you, has a plan for you. We've been growing up, we come to a place where we've had all these add-ons, you know. I would rather want to say, the Holy Spirit, He's amazing. You just need to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You need to start dreaming. God wants to speak to you. Yes, it's true, and it's amazing. I don't despise that. How is the message? What is the song in your heart for the gospel? How do you pump in your blood? What is the first thing you wake up in the morning and say? And for us, it was the biggest, for me, it was the amazing, greatest thing, man, is to be able to go to that people and bring the gospel to them. And to see how a village, literally a whole village, changed. One woman, the whole village changed. You see, that video that we spoke of, the village is Kawani. In the morning we were led to really intercede and to repent on behalf of this village for all the idol worship, the wrong things. And the Lord showed us in scripture how He hates it when we make idols of our hands and we worship the stuff that is not Him. Doing is our sport. This is in our heart also. What do you worship? Your sport, your studies, your future, money. And we had to repent on behalf of those people. And it was really so blessing for us to do that. And then the afternoon we went out to the houses. And then we just drove out of the house. People just said, yes, following Christ. And this one guy, I just want to share to you. His name is Surrender, actually. Surrender is his name. He really surrendered completely to Jesus. The Lord just showed me, and we must really pray for him, but the Lord showed me that he's going to be the pastor, that he's going to be the leader in that village. We were ministering, I think it was me and Frick, to the six men, and the Lord showed us that they are going to be the leaders. We invited them that evening to our house, and you know what? We did something that's not even allowed in their culture. We had communion as a group, and in their culture, it's not allowed to pass. Cup. You may not drink from one cup. But we share. You see how the gospel even transcends culture, eh? It completely just changes who you are. Okay? Yeah, it's really awesome. And that was one of the most special moments, sitting on that stoop, having the mountains in front of us. We had communion with our new brothers in Christ. We could explain this is the bread of Christ and what this bread brought. This is the blood of Christ, and what the blood signifies in our life. And why do we do this? And that was such a moment of the presence of God. It's just so delicious. We could not even speak their language to understand what they were saying, but there was a unity. The last night, that surrender invited us to his house, and there we had the best game of our lives in their house. We played that game. Ek is honger, my koffie so aansteer, but it's very fun day. We played it, and then when we wanted to leave, he said, just take more minutes. We could not speak today, but there was just the presence of God. There was unity. We all became one in the Spirit. That's a gospel. It's a gospel. It's not my cool words, but I can say, it's what Jesus is. What Jesus is. So, just think back on that story that you told the person next to you. What was your response to that good news? Okay? If someone comes in here tonight, it's a someone, okay, quickly look under your chairs. There's a paper, there's some good news for somebody under your chairs. What do you believe?
One moment.
Whoa! response is great, eh? I feel you must jump on your chair and call your mother and whatever. But if you hear something good that you are happy about, then you want to share it to the world. Amen. Jesus saved us, redeemed us with his blood. I don't know, but I think that's the best news that anyone can hear. Even for us here tonight. We were all deserved to die, to go to the hell. But we have heard the gospel, amen? We have heard the good news. Let's rejoice. Let's be glad. The last scripture for tonight is in Luke chapter 15. It speaks about the prodigal son. And we know that, all of us know this story, where the son went to his father and he asked for his inheritance and he went and blew everything and he was with the pigs and he ate food of the pigs. Then he decided, but if I can be a servant in my father's house, that would be a better life. This is what I'm having here. Then he came back, but then we read, but the father said to him, as he returned to the house, he says, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And then verse 23 just really struck me when I read it. And bring the fattened calf here and keep it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And this speaks about our Father in heaven. The day when we came to salvation, he killed the fatted calf. There's a massive celebration in heaven. All the angels stand still. They can hear, we can be busy here ministering, I can be preaching, but outside in the street, there's somebody giving their life to Christ. God will be there, his attention will be there. Because there's not a special or holy moment, somebody that comes to salvation. Do you agree? There's a feast, there's a place where we can be merry about, where we can rejoice, where Father God gives us that fattened calf. He gives it to us. And I believe for some of us tonight, including myself, we have lost that joy of our salvation. We have lost it to be so thankful just for my salvation and what God has done for me and in my life. I believe tonight the Lord wants us to be merry again about what he has done in our lives. He wants us to be happy, to rejoice, to have a feast. Celebrate Jesus, you have saved me. Jesus, you have saved me. He has chosen us to know him, to be his sons and his daughters. So while the band goes up on the stage, I'm going to give an invitation to you. As you all can just stand, please. Just stand with me. You have heard all the amazing stories tonight about the fish. You've heard our testimony. You've heard what Christ came to do for us. Maybe you also have a desire to be used by God or to experience this fullness. I believe some of us here tonight, you really have a desire also to experience Christ and to experience his fullness and to know him. You do not, there's some of us here tonight that we do not really know Christ the way that he wants us to know him. We are busy with religion. It's tiring. You're struggling. I think some of us here, we really struggle with deep things in our life. Big sins that we have done, places that we've gone, people that we've hurt, we just say, Lord, we just turn back time. And you are so far from God, you're actually in a big hole. You're alone. Climbing your bed at night, you're alone. You have a desire to know Christ. Tonight you have heard the good news. You have heard the good news of Jesus. And that gospel is enough for you. I want to say to you, men here, ladies, the gospel is enough. Nothing in this world will satisfy you. Nothing in this world can give you what Christ can give you. And you can run, and you can seek, and you can run and run and run until you are so tired and dead. If you do not have the gospel, if you do not have Christ in your life, everything else will seem as nothing and dead. And it's time to get real tonight. We are running off the stuff. We are running off the identity and fame and princes and riches. We're not running off the Christ. We're not running off the Him. And you've heard tonight in our testimonies how the gospel changes lives. And there's some of us yet tonight that we need change. We need change in our life. For you cannot go on the way that you're going on. It will kill you. You need change, and Jesus is the answer. And those people that need change, I want you to come to the front right now. Because Jesus is here to change you. You're struggling with many stuff. It's killing you. I want you to come to the front right now. Come, come. Don't be shy. Because Jesus wants to change. He's here to change. He's here to change. I believe there's many in this place. And pride is you away, you are saying, oh, I don't have to respond, I can go on. Christ is here, He's here to touch your heart, He's here to change your life. Come to the front right now, we're going to pray for you. Don't miss this opportunity, don't go back into your normal house, your normal routine. Come, Christ wants to touch you, He wants to touch you.